Tanihu Perek Dalet.
So we saw in Perek Gimel the remarkable events that occurred after Nebuchadnezzar attempted to undo the meaning of the Nevi'ut and to reestablish the power of Babel in such a way that it would be impossible for it to be shaken by countering HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vision of the Rosh being Babel with a statue that was entirely Zahav that represented Babel and get the entire world to integrate underneath not only the vision of Babel, which is the Rosh, but also the integrative elements of the economy of Babel, the roads of Babel, the language of Babel. And it is very, very similar to what it was that Nimrod had done in Babel. That would became now the Nes in Bikat Dura, which was exactly the same place that the Migdal had been built, and that was the Techiyat HaMetim, that at the very same time that this was going on with Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, that Yechezkel was doing, the Gemara says it all, came together in his consciousness, and he was like blown away by this entire event. And what's remarkable is, as we saw, a number of things. First of all, Daniel wasn't there. And that's a very strange story. Daniel disappearing. And Lamaisa the Gemara says nobody wanted Daniel to be there. Daniel didn't want to be there because he was rather concerned because he felt that he had a din of an Aved Azar because of the fact that Nebuchadnezzar had bowed down to him and had wanted to bring Korbanos to him, as we learned in the parak before, and saw him as an embodiment of the divine. And very much as Yaakov Avinu was Zohir at the time in Mitzrayim, he was afraid that they would worship him, and in the end, in the same way there's a din on the Ovdim, there's a din on the Aved Azar, which was what happened by Yitziat Mitzrayim, that all of the Yitzilei Elohim, everything disappeared, melted, burned, and so on. So Daniel felt he should get out. Nebuchadnezzar wanted him out of there because he knew what was going to happen, and he didn't want to have in the name of his God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want him there because he wanted the Gilui of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. And if Daniel had been there, then everybody would have said it was in his list that the whole thing took place. But where did he go? Now, that's the question. How did he get out of there? And it's very interesting that we have three approaches in the Gemara to what happened, all of which that clearly imply that Chazal were not happy with Daniel. And we're going to find out in this parak as well why they're not happy with Daniel, more profoundly. So Rav says what he did was he was in charge of a tremendous engineering project in Teria, and they were digging out a channel for the national waterway out of the Kinneret. He was sent back to Tveria, Lemichra Nahara Rav. So he was there in order to, maybe he was the guy that built that, the dam on the Jordan up there. They just claim it was a reason to know. It was the first electrical plant. Whatever it was, he was sent for a waterworks project. Yeah. Shmuel said that he was involved in the import of animal feed. And the worst is, Rabbi Yochanan said that he was in charge of the importing pigs from Alexandria, where they had developed, remember the whole story with Tudus Arofi, which Gemara actually asks, that they didn't allow breeding of any of the animals that they had developed. They were genetically engineered animals, so they would never send out any breed stock, which was a kasham. And the Gemara actually talks about that problem in Sanhedrin. But the bottom line is that obviously the insight here is that Daniel, in fact, was very much a Yosef character. And he's compared in all the Midrashim to Yosef. And we see him as being intimately involved in the Malchut Abba. To the extent that because of the events that are coming up in this parak, where he's held to blame for actually saving Nebuchadnezzar's neck and being on the side of Nebuchadnezzar, in what appears to be a horrible way in which he is shattered by the fact that Nebuchadnezzar is going to be punished, and gives him this etzah and how he can put off his punishment, and because of that, say Chazal, in the end he was thrown into the lion's den, that was the real reason, if you hold according to the Mount Yarmouth, that Hatach is Daniel in the story of Esther, so meaning that it was Chatur Migdulato. So then why were Chatur Migdulato? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was displeased that he had given this etzah to Nebuchadnezzar. But at any event, there's a very, very strong difference in the mode of behavior of Hanani, Mishael, Azariah from the beginning, and Daniel. And Nebuchadnezzar picks this up very early on. Remember that as Arioch told Daniel initially, the king has taken a personal interest in this. There's no way that I can get involved, because if he finds out that anything was changed, it's not as if this was just something that he commanded and now it's the lower level of the bureaucracy taking care of it. He was the one that changed the name of Daniel personally, the Belshazzar. He's the one that points out out, yes, this is Daniel, named after my own god, Bel, which is unbelievable. So he recognized very much as Paro had. And the same story, the dreams occur again, the same story of the attractiveness of Yosef, the attractiveness of Daniel, that he becomes Nebuchadnezzar, his fair-haired boy, and now this is the story of Daniel, and indeed he takes up, as we saw before, not a position that was part of the bureaucracy, as Hanani Mishael v'Azariah did, in which they were good over various industries and so on in Babel, but he was the personal advisor of the king, so that in a sense he was a Mishnah L'Melech, and that was the idea that he was afraid of, because that was also an element of divinity. So there were two very different approaches. Daniel never went head-to-head with Mitzrayim, just like Yosef never went head-to-head with Mitzrayim. The impact that he had on Mitzrayim was from within, whereas Hanani Mishael v'Azariah and Daniel did the same. Never went head-to-head. We never find him going head-to-head, even when there are many midrashim about the way in which he did undermine their idolatry, their religious beliefs, and so on. It was always very subtle. So Daniel, for instance, Nebuchadnezzar had this immense snake that was swallowed everything that was said, and he managed to destroy it by giving it a bag of nails. And crazy things, but not things that were direct battles or taking a stand against Nebuchadnezzar at any time. The closest he came to that stand was the fact that he insisted on distancing himself from the food of the Goyim and from Bishalakum and from Yain Nesef and Sam Yenon, and he was Gezer on Shemen of Akum, and as the Rambam brings, all of those basically took the initial Gezer from the Neil. But as far as other than personal Hanhagas, which is a machlokas in the Gemara, whether they're literally personal or they were Gezeras on all Yisrael, but aside from Hanhagas that had to do with the development of the human being himself, he didn't attempt to change openly the belief systems and the whole culture of Bavel. Hanani Mishael v'Azariah were exactly the opposite. They take a stand which is meant to embarrass the king, as we saw last week. They say, frankly, what was your name again? Oh yes, Nebuchadnezzar. Sounds something like a dog. Nabu. Nebuchadnezzar, yes. Well, frankly, we couldn't care less. We care so little that we're never going to answer you because it's not worth answering. If you're speaking as a king, the most you can do is tell us what taxes we should pay and things like that. But don't start talking about religious beliefs and nonsense. And everything that they did went along in that direction to make it evident that there's nothing that you can do to us that would in any way influence our beliefs. And in doing so, they crushed a great deal of the gaiva of Nebuchadnezzar, the gaiva of the Shilton, and the approach of the Avodah Zarah of Bavel, to the extent that, because I'll point out, they disappear after. What happened to them? The Gemara says, what happened to them? It's medayik from Pasuk of Zion in the previous parak, where it says, Umit kanshin achashtar pnayas ganaya pachvata dabri malka, and so on. They all come together. They all come together about what? They come together, says the Gemara, about what happened over here. And they say, you guys knew that your God was capable of this, and you went around in your own country doing Avodah Zarah, and they started spitting at him. So as the Gemara puts it, they drowned in the spit. In other words, there was so much reaction of bizoyan for the fact that Yisrael could possibly have been over Avodah Zarah. We saw that this was part of what Nebuchadnezzar was making fun of. Oh, all of a sudden, they come over here, and now they're all kodesh v'tar. From what I recall, we've been buying Jewish idols for decades now. You know, you guys are the leading, used to be, I don't know, now it was once China, and lately it's been Israel, where we import everything. So all of that was Gerim, in a sense, a bittle of their entire stature, and that people undermined the whole Hashivas of Yisrael because of what had happened before. It's a strange kind of story, but they're gone. They're gone because they've actually done what they needed to do. Daniel, on the other hand, as we were told in the very opening parak, he stays around all the way through until the end. Until Koresh, Machlokas Rishonim, which Koresh we're talking about. According to the Medrash, he ends up going back, seeing the rebuilding of Beit HaMikdash, and he becomes one, and as the Navi puts together, one with Noach and with Yov, who saw three worlds, a world destroyed, the change of the paradigm, and then a world rebuilt. So this was the difference between them. It was a massive difference. So that even though we have two completely different Hanhagot here, one of which is Hanani Mishael v'Azariah, the other one is Daniel, and they have very different ways of dealing with the issues, what's fascinating is that all of them, at least according to one man, the Gemara, All of them are called from Bnei Yehuda. And even according to Madi Omer, Chanani, Mishael, Azariah was from others, certainly Daniel was from Yehuda. When it says Bnei Yehuda up front, that's a machlokes that we learn in Sanhedrin. The Medrash takes for granted that they're all Bnei Yehuda. And remarkably, so that remarkably, the one who is most Yosef-like is according to everybody from Yehuda. And the question is, how exactly does that happen? What's remarkable is that the story actually goes back, in many midrashim, goes back to the very beginning of the inception of Malchut Beit David, which is in the middle of the Yosef story. Which, of course, while Yosef is taken down to Mitzrayim, having all of his problems with Eshet Potipharah, Yehuda is having his problems and with his kids, with Er and Shelah and so on, and he now goes and ends up sleeping with, as Yosef didn't, Tamar. Okay, so now, at the end, of course, we have this whole incredible story in which she doesn't want to say that it was you got me pregnant, but you may recognize these three things. And in the end, so he says, you know, tzedakah, mimeni, I got her pregnant. And then the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, b'schus, you saved three nefashot, because there were twins and the mother. So you saved three nefashot, Peret, Zerach, and Tamar, from the fire, because it hurts you of a tisaref. So your three children, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, with that schud, will be saved from the fire. But how does Yosef get, how does Yosef now relate to Yehuda's Daniel? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. As much as, yeah, absolutely it does. Because b'schus that Yehuda had gone back and said, Ma betza, ki naroget achid, we'll throw him into the pit and we'll take him out of the pit and we'll sell him to thee. So there's the, so because he was taken out of the pit, so he, Daniel, is also saved from this pit. So that was also b'schut Yehuda. So you saved one from the bar, three from the Eish, so you get the whole thing. But Lamaitha, it's really amazing because it's in the middle of the story that is contrasting Yehuda and Yosef. So that same story becomes now the contrast of those that are Nitzel and the Yosef element that's Nitzel and the Yehuda element that's Nitzel here. And very, very different Hanhagas completely. So that the impact of this story on the Umot HaOlam, that is remarkable. And again, that's the way the Medrash puts it, is that the Gemara puts it, they were drowning in spit. Everybody was spitting at these guys and until they're Tola Ineim Lamala, and they said, L'cha Hashem HaTzadaka V'lanu Boshet HaPanim. That's when that Pasuk, the first time that Pasuk was said, that the embarrassment, that it took all of this to achieve this change. Now, we should recognize something that was so instantaneously apparent to the Umas Olam that we look like absolute idiots in having allowed ourselves to sink to this mandrega of Avadas Kachovim, and that's the end of their story. So they really do achieve a Yehuda element. Of course, that's Yehuda, as the Gemara says. Anyone who is kofir b'avodat kochavim is called Yehuda. So that he brings about the hodah to the Shem Hashem, and that's the main meaning of that name. That, of course, is the main purpose of these two prokim, is the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to, in fact, be matzil. And that's what happens with Chanan B'Shov HaZara, they'll be meiser nefesh. We're not even interested in your Avodah Zarah. And here, in order to put Nebuchadnezzar back into his place, as we said, we saw the same kind of issue with Sancheirev and with the Hiram Melech Tzur, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes out of his way, just like it was in Mitzrayim, to establish the nature of Malchus. And this is exactly what happens. Paro sets himself up as a god, and Moshe is told, go meet him in the bathroom. That's really where we want to bring him down to what he is. And this is exactly what happens with all of these. We'll see, it gets a little bit dicey with Nebuchadnezzar over here later on. But it's a hanhoga that is nogea specifically malachim. In other words, the greater the power of the malchut that is given, the more necessary it is for there to be a clarity that this is only a step towards the ruach Elokim rachefet al pnei amayim zeruach shel Mashiach. And that vision that came about in the original dream was very much meant to give over at the same time that these other events were happening. Hanani Mishael Vazayr, during that same period, it's a 45-year period, which in Nebuchadnezzar is Melech, that period was meant to set now the background for the building of the second Beit HaMikdash, in which it wouldn't be necessary to have these nisim all the time, in which people would have a completely different way of relating to the clarity of Emunah, that surprisingly, of all places, they achieve in Bavel, which was, of course, the place where Avram Avinu initially achieved his Emunah. So all of these things are really connected to the power of Bavel itself. And by the way, the symbol, of course, all along was Yehuda. It's the Ari, the Aryoch. Anybody who's seen the Gate of Ishtar, it's completely covered with these lions. And the idea of Gur Aryeh, actually Yehuda, the Medrash brings. So that's why there's four Lashonas of lions that are associated with Yehuda, is connected to these four that were saved. Some Taina, that Tamar herself, who insisted on three Simonim, wanted three simonim to be connected to Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, Baruch HaKadosh, that she had. So that even the he should be makir up front. Why is she asking for three simonim? Ah, so there must be some meaning to each one of these simonim different, separately, that it was Nogea, Latid, Lavo. And of course, the whole story is pregnant, excuse the pun, but is pregnant with these profound meanings that are linked, profound historical linkages that go all the way through to the later of Peretz and Zerach and the coming of David HaMelech and of Mashiach, and this is very much what we're being Isaac in. So it's not surprising that the themes should come up here behind the scenes. So what happens now is that we've exposed Nebuchadnezzar's attempt with his statue as being a useless attempt, and nothing was going to change, but it made no impact on him personally. In other words, we would expect that, considering the importance of Nebuchadnezzar, we don't really have this anymore, but if you take a look throughout Chazal, the importance of Nebuchadnezzar is awesome. He really is viewed as Nimrod. In other words, he's almost a primal figure. He's called Ben Benosh of Nimrod Arashashim, Nidkala, there are special brachas that we have to say from Nebuchadnezzar. If you go to Bavel, you see Beitosh Nebuchadnezzar, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Hirid Beito, Shel Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha, Ad Kedei Kach. This man was the only one, if you call the Gemara in Sanhedrin, was him, Nebuzradan, and the children of Sancheirev that survived the siege of Sancheirev. And they were the ones that ultimately were all placed in positions that would destroy Klal Yisrael, or would destroy the Beis HaMikdash, would be in a position around your life. So this guy has been there for a long time. Not only that, the Medrash traces him back to the day that Shlomo HaMelech married Bat Paro, and says that he impregnated Bat Paro, she had a daughter, that daughter ends up being the great-great-grandmother of Nebuchadnezzar. So that in the end, he is the result of the original failure, just as Chazal say. On that day, Rome began and started silting up the delta where Rome ultimately was built. So too was Nebuchadnezzar, a descendant of those original misplannings of Shlomo HaMelech. So he goes all the way back. His childhood is traced to playing around with Yirmiyo and Avi. And that we have conversations among them as children, in which he's saying, boy, I can't wait till I grow up. I'm going to be king. And great to be king. And interestingly enough, we find that Kadosh Baruch Hu had to go ahead because he himself was a midget, interestingly. And this is the same story we have about Paro. Paro was really a midget, that all these guys are midgets, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu builds them up to be something. So as the Gemara says, what's the meaning of the Pasuk, and the vision in which there's this cloud coming from the Tafon? Says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to go make a midget king, because after all, I mean, you can't have a low-class guy being in charge of Klal Yisrael. We point out the same thing with Hitler. I mean, it's the absolutely lowest class midget that are put into position where Kol Atzora Yisrael is Nasarosha, almost miraculously, people that you never believe. And indeed, the Medrash describes how people, this guy was looked at as a maniac, and he would be going around from place to place talking about how he's going to be king, and people would look at him and say, this midget's going to be king. I mean, this guy's crazy. And in the end, that's actually what happens from the beer halls. He was a drunker. He was a, we'll see later today some of the strange stories about him. And he was a nut. And not only the way that he acts here, early on, he was crazy. And in this parasha, he is reduced to what he really is, because the reaction was completely missing. Now, interestingly enough, the transition to this is the letter of Nebuchadnezzar that we saw before. We had the opening of the letter in last week's, in yesterday's perek, in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, in which all we read is a dictated letter, right? From Nebuchadnezzar to all of the languages, countries on earth, etc., etc. And I want everybody to know how marvelous it has been, the great things that God has done for me, and I want to tell you over all of his miracles and so on. Nothing that in any way indicates that maybe he had done something wrong. On the contrary, it's there to show how marvelous he is, as if this was part of everything that God had done for me, not against me. And so, the next parak is written from the point of view of Nebuchadnezzar himself. It's in his own words, not about Nebuchadnezzar. And according to most, actually represents a parsha that Nebuchadnezzar wrote, very similar to Sifro Shel Bilam, in which the whole story of Bilam becomes in the end something that's incorporated into the parak. In Bilam's words, to describe the godless of Yisrael, or his own vision of what would be Ba'acharit HaYamim, which becomes the makor of Mashiach, and so on and so forth, even the halakha, as the Rambam brings from the Nevi'ahs of Bilam. And this is where we learn out the nature of Malchus Mashiach. Now, of course, that's what the vision was of the statue, of the stone that came, crushed the statue, grew into this mountain, which ultimately takes over the entire world. So Nebuchadnezzar is being used here as the beginnings of an understanding of the development of Malchus, as we saw the four levels of the development of Malchus up until Malchus Mashiach. And yet, he takes it upon himself as if to say, I am the one that has achieved this. And God wanted to share it with me. And that's how the whole first parak is the first part of the story, which Daniel has to tell him, God, you know, it's after all, God responded to your desire to understand the nature of the course of history, and all of this was given to you to understand it. And the idiot, after coming to understand it, goes out and tries to fight it. This is after he bows down to Daniel. So there's something wrong with this whole story, with the man. And what's interesting is that there are only a few times in which there's a personal battle that goes on, Ki'ilu, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and someone on earth, in which that does it. Now, we know Paro, the whole story of the interaction with Paro is Laman Yedu Mitzrayim. Paro's initial opening with Mi Hashem Asher is exactly the words that Nebuchadnezzar says. Who? What kind of God could possibly save you? And it's Hanani Mishael Azariah said, well, we'll see. You know, we certainly don't care about you. But we have found the same thing happens with Sancheirib, the Rav Shakeh, in where he is, first, they don't like what he says, they come to complain to the Navi. Big deal, who cares about what some jerk says. But then, when there's a direct violation of the present thing, Nehira is a melech, in which he literally is not machshiv, that there could be the presence of anything in the world that has an impact on history, or that lies behind this story, all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, that does it. We're going to take care of this guy. And he's wiped out the next day. Now, here we have very much the same thing. This guy's getting out of hand. And when I give something to someone, then he needs to be the one that's going to make amends for the way in which it was misused. This parsha represents the way in which Nebuchadnezzar makes his amends. But he makes his amends in such a way that the Gemara says that he literally, if a malach hadn't come and shut him up, he would have written poetry that was more beautiful than Sefer Tehillim, and would have taken over even in his making amends, would have once again shown that he's above everything else, and so on. And so, he was shut up in the middle of the story, as we'll see. He just gets a few good lines of poetry in, but the story as a story in which he is reduced is a story that he is the one that helped. And therefore, he promulgates this letter as an act of teshuva, essentially. And it's the last, it's really the last thing that we hear from him in his life. And so we begin his letter, or his story. Ana Nebuchadnezzar, it was I, Nebuchadnezzar, Shalei Havet Beveti V'Ra'anan Be'Echli. I was feeling really good about myself, relaxed, happy, complacent in my home, and really at the height of my powers, fresh, young, in my palace. And then, Chelem Chazit V'Yedach Alinani. I had this dream. It scared me. And I was thinking about these ideas on my bed. And the visions that I had in my brain terrorized. And so, Umini seemed to aim, I immediately issued an order to have brought in front of me all of the wise men of Babel, in order that they explain to me what this dream is supposed to mean. Now, in essence, this dream is very simple. There's nothing about it that required that Neil to be there. There was only one problem with Rick, and that is that it had a fundamental contradiction that didn't allow him to understand it consistently, as we'll see. And in the end, he needs to call him to Neil because nobody is capable of making it work from beginning to end. It's not a sustainable interpretation. So, Bedayin Alin Chartumaya Shpaya Kastai V'Gazraya, and so sure enough, the old foursome comes in, the various necromancers and magicians and astrologers and demoness and so on. And Chelma Amar Ana Kodmehon, the dream I said this time, but that wasn't the challenge at this point. I wanted ideas. But Ufishrei Lomahod Inle. Nobody could give me its interpretation. That's not to say they didn't try. I mean, yeah, we went through a few hundred things of nonsense. None of them made any. It wasn't for me. As it says back in Paro, Lifaro. It didn't turn me on. I didn't believe a word of it. So at last, I needed to call in Daniel. So v'ad achorin ol kodomai Daniel d'shmei Balshatzar d'shum Elohi. And so I called in Daniel, whose name was Balshatzar, named after my own God. V'diruach Elohim kadishinbe, who has in him the spirit of the Holy Lord. And I said the dream in front of him. And I said to him, Balshatzar, Rav Chartumaya, oh Balshatzar, the great magician, Dianaya, did I know the Ruach Lin Kadishin Bar, the Choraz Lo Anisla? I know that the spirit of the Holy God is in you, and there is no secret that is too big for you. Chesve Chelmi, Dichazet, Ufishrei Amar. I would want you now, this vision that I saw, I expect you to be able to explain it. I'm going to tell you what it is. The Chesvei Shel Mishkavi. Now here's what was in my head while I was lying there. Chosei Avet, I'm looking, the Aloi Lambago Aravurume Sagi, and this tree starts to grow. In the midst of the land, it gets very, very high. Revai Elano Tkif, strong does it grow, powerful does it grow. Varuma Yitme Lishmaya, it becomes a skyscraper. Vechazoti Lasof Kolara, it becomes visible to the very edges of the earth. Of Ye Shapir, it has these beautiful branches. And it's got these lovely fruit. Some say afier is actually leaves. We'll see later there's a difference between the different parts of the tree that are referred to later. Umazom chulabe. And it has food for everyone beneath it. Tachtoi tatleil chivat bara. Beneath it, in the shade, are shaded the wild animals of the field. And along its branches, all the birds of the heavens roost. And all flesh finds in it their parnasa. Chazal and Mechalik between the Cheve, the wild animals of the field, as being the Umeis Olam and the Tziporim that are on the branches, as a reference to Yisrael. We know Nudi Archem Tzipor, as David HaMelech says, as a reference to the Neshama, those things which are higher, those things which are closer. We've seen that used many times, the idea of the winged kruvim. Mm-hmm. So the wing is what gives it a sense of its being above other forms of life. So Chazei Ahavet Bechezvei Rashi Bishkavi. There I am looking in the visions of my brain. And suddenly, and behold, this is a fascinating, ir is a fascinating word that is used in Aramaic all the time. It's a word for malach, but it comes from the word alive and awake. So the malach is seen as something that is more aware. An ir is something which is awake. It's enlivened, as opposed to humans who are half dead. So this thing which is ir, vikadish, and holy, lands from the sky. And it just comes to a landing in front of my eyes and starts making this enormous proclamation that is so loud that it's terrifying. And he starts announcing very loudly, this is what he said. Go to Ilana, tear down the tree. Vekatitsu an poi, rip off its branches. Ataru of ye, which appears to mean that afyan an poi, two different things. So this would be the leaves. Rip them off and throw them on the ground. Uvadaru in bay, and take its fruit and scatter it. Tanud chivtam in tachtoi, let all the animals move away from beneath it. Vetsiparaya min an poi, and the birds leave its branches. Ram, just one thing. Ikar sharashoi ba'arashavuku, leave just its deepest roots in the ground. Uviasur, here is where something happened. The metaphor changes in the middle. initially, the tree is clearly not meant to be a person. It's meant to be something that represents the, not Nebuchadnezzar as an individual, but something about the actual vision of an integrating presence that allows all things to share in an economy, to be able to be Bikarni, to find their places, to feel that they have, they're shaded, they're protected, and so on. It's not a person. And yet, once it's cut down, the metaphor changes. Cut down normally means, it's always the way in which we say something, dies, killed. So initially, thinking that it refers to him, it means that he's finished. Suddenly, the tree turns into a human, so to speak, because otherwise the metaphor makes no sense. Because the Malach goes on to say now, and we'll see a complete change, the Malach goes on to say, take a sordi parzel nechash, take now chains, handcuffs that are made out of steel and are made out of brass, bezita devara, out there in the open field is where it should be led. In the desha, bitta is the bidesha. Uftal shemaya yitztaba, and let him be washed and showered. Who be washed and showered? Somebody. Let him be washed and showered with the dew of the sky. And let him share with the wild animals in the grass of the ground. Livaveimin and ashayishanun. Let his heart be changed from a human heart. Ulavav cheva yitayivle, and let him be given the heart of an animal. And let seven different seasons or seven different years or some of the Mefarshim say seven different stages of insanity pass over him. Now this is a description, as we'll see, of a complete psychosis that he now suffers. He breaks down totally. He doesn't even see himself as human, loses his ability to talk, to communicate, becomes absolutely wild and needs to be constrained in a straitjacket. You know, the metal, the steel, and the brass, and cannot be allowed anywhere near humans and near human habitation, and is left to maybe, this is, you think that the what was the movie about King George?
The madness.
You think that madness is mad. You haven't seen madness yet. So this is the madness of Nebuchadnezzar. And in this madness, it's actually a gilui of what type of person he is. He becomes an animal. And the origin, not becomes in a literal sense, but his intelligence is complete, loses all ability to function intelligently, and he's left with literally an animal brain, so that he sees himself, he experiences being an animal. And this, says this Malach, Bigzerat Irin Pitgama, this decree has come out now, worded by the enlivened ones, Umamar Kadishin She'elta, and are the words of the Most Holy. Then why She'elta? Say Chazal, She'elta, says the it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, would not be gozer something unless he speaks it over with the Bez Din Shomala. So it's a She'elta. So it's a She'ela V'tshuva, so to speak. Ad Divrat Din De'un Chayaya, so that, for the purpose that ultimately all living beings have to learn, there is a higher power that is in charge of human kinship. He can give it to whomever he wishes. Ushval anashim yakima alaya. And this is Eve Allah. This is according to the Medrash, as a reference to the fact that he was a midget. Sure, he can even make this idiot midget a king. So we'll put him back in his place. Ana Malka Nebuchadnezzar. I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen that dream. Ve'ant Belshazzar. You now, Belshazzar, my dear. Pishre Amor, explain it. Kol kabelti kol hakimei malchutei yochalim pishrala odatani. Because in light of the fact that none of my advisors are able to let me understand this dream, the Ant Kahel, you are the only one who could. The Ruach Elohim Kadishin Bach, because of the fact you have this amazing Ruach HaKodesh. It was at that moment that Daniel, who was named Belshazzar, was shocked into complete silence for a moment. And his thoughts shattered him. The king, of course, sees this. He says, this must be horrible. So, Ane Malka V'Amar Belshazzar. But don't hide anything from me. Chelmu Pishrei Al Yeva Alach. Look, whatever this means, you gotta tell me. Don't hide it, and don't be terrorized by the implication. Ane Belshazzar V'Amar Shamar and so Belshazzar answered him. Note that it switches his name. He's no longer Daniel at all. As if he's responding entirely as Nebuchadnezzar's vision of Belshazzar. So that he's now put himself into this relationship with Nebuchadnezzar. And it's at this moment that Chazal say he was nichshal in losing everything ultimately because he allowed himself to become linked to Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, Ve'amar Mori, my master, Chelma l'samach, may this dream be upon you, those who hate you. Ufishrei la'arach, and the explanation, the interpretation that I must give you, may it happen to those who seek your undoing. Because all of a sudden, it's crazy. What do you mean? Who are his biggest enemies? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael. No, what is he? He's not being Mechari from Agadef, and he's saying that Klal Yisrael should be destroyed. I mean, what does this supposed to mean? On one level, Richie suggested the Stockholm Syndrome, which is really elements of which Chazal are obviously pointing to. Patty Hearst, you're not that young. Stockholm, it's Richie who goes Helsinki.
That's wrong.
And so, the Medrash understands, as Rashi's Masber over that obviously he was Tola Enav Lakadro, speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, Malki, I may this dream come true to this Mamzer. Oh, how wonderful that would be. But, as we'll see, he gives an aid to the Nebuchadnezzar because of that. And he's about now to explain the dream, which I'm afraid we'll have to get to tomorrow. But he is actually talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on one level. But from Nebuchadnezzar's point of view, who is writing the dream, Nebuchadnezzar sees this entirely as his relationship to Daniel. Daniel is going to save his butt with a good aid. And it actually worked for a while. And now, says Daniel, I'm going to tell you what it's all about. And so at that point, after Nebuchadnezzar tells him, look, you know, you got to tell it to me like it is. Ilana dechazaita, the tree that you saw, that tree that was revived, it was so big and it was so powerful. And it became a skyscraper. The chazot ilacholaren could be seen all over the earth. The afye shapir, now all of its branches were so beautiful. The inbei sagir, so much fruit that it was giving. Umazon lecholabe, and the economy of the whole world was dependent on it. Tachtoi tador chevat bra, all of the animals from all over the world, the wild animals, which are the various malchiot that you have integrated, or that a malchut integrates into one. Uban poi yishkenan tzipori shamaya. Imagine yesterday that connected Israel unto Malka Diravat Utkeft. It's clear that this is a symbol of the Malka that was given to you. You have become very great. You have become very strong. Uruvutach Ravat, your fame and power has grown. Umetat Shmaya, and has reached the skies. Vishaltanach Lesof Ara, and your power, the empire, the power of the empire has reached the very edges of the earth. And as we mentioned earlier, there's Ramos in that Yirmiyahu talks about, that Nebuchadnezzar was given over. We spoke about this early on in the Sefer. Was actually given over power over the Chayot HaSadeh. That's the famous Medrash that he used to ride a lion, that the bridle of the lion was a python, and he would hold on to the python and ride his little lion and so on. So V'dichaza Malka, Ir V'kadish, Nachit, this that you saw, that this aware being, this Malach, suddenly is Nachit Min Shemaya, comes down from the sky. Amar, go to Ilana v'chabloi, tear down this tree and rip it apart. Barami karsha v'shoi b'ara shavuku, but leave its roots in the ground. Ube'asor di parzelon v'chash b'da'adi divara, leave. Now, and here we mentioned that this was suddenly a change in metaphor, which became somehow the equivalent of a human. You know, up until this point, we're talking about the malchut. And now have the handcuffs and the feet chained up in brass and in steel, and make sure that it stays out there, whoever this is referring to, together with the grass out in the field, uvatal shamayi taba, and it shall be washed, he shall be washed, with the dew of the sky, v'chevat barach halakeh, and shall eat together, that shall be his portion, together with the wild animals, ad shivai danim yechavu aloi, until these seven periods pass off him, so the malbum, seven stages of insanity, dana pishram malka, this, so king, this is what it means. I'm sorry to tell you that. This is Gezerah. Gezerat Ilahi. This is a Gezerah that's coming from above, and it's about to happen to you. And Dimitzat al Mori Malkut is going to befall my lord the king. And what it means is that Velach Ardin Min Anasha, you are going to be thrown out from among human habitation. V'mechevad bara levi medorach, you will live together with wild animals. V'zvaket torin alakit amun, and eating as an ox would eat. Actually, it never said torin, it just said chevad bara. This is his being nice and vulganetzer, because ashore, at least, is viewed as the among the behemoth, is viewed as the most powerful, as the chubad, and so on. So he's saying it in a nice way. You will eat. I mean, it's not talking about carnivorous animals here, clearly, because it kept talking about the isva. Talked about the grass. So you will be like the ox, who will eat together the animal feed that an ox would eat. And that's what Yita'amun, that's what you're going to be tasting. Mital Shemaya Lach B'tzabin, your body will be washed with the dew of the sky. V'shiva Yidanin Yechavun Alayech, and there will be seven different periods that will pass over you. Adi Tinda, until you finally learn the Shalit Ilah B'malchut Anasha, that there is higher power that establishes the Malchut among humans. L'mandi Yitzveit Na, and gives it to whomever you wish. V'diyamara L'mishva Kakar Shashoyd Ilana Malchutach Lach Hayama. The point over here, what you viewed as a contradiction, obstruction of the tree, and then suddenly turning into a person, now what's going on here is that the indications that the roots were left in the ground means that your malchut is not going to be destroyed, remarkably. In other words, despite the fact that you will be consigned to an insane asylum, you'll be kept outside. And actually, according to the Medrash, what really happened, they appointed a Vilmurudach, his son, during this period, and he ruled in place of his father. And as we'll see, as soon as the Vukhanetzer get better, he has thrown into a dungeon, where it should get too hoity-toity on me. And this is Vilmurudach, after Vukhanetzer dies, he doesn't want to have anything to do with politics, as initially. We'll see what happens after this. But your malchut, surprisingly, is going to survive this. And the shorashim is going to be in the ground. And that's the point. The tree, which was the malchut, will survive and turn into, as far as you're concerned, man. And the man won't have anything to do with the malchut. So that's the whole idea over here. Initially, when we talk about malchut, the man and the malchut are identified as one unit. The way that the famous Medrash Lagabi David HaMelech puts it, is that malchut doesn't have anything of its own. Let me go make room. So we talk about a king, and that was brought out beautifully, again, the madness of King George, that until while he's insane, he's treated as a person. The psychiatrist kicks at him, beats him, and makes fun of him, and pushes him the way you would push any insane person. The moment that he recovers, he becomes your majesty. And there's no contradiction at all, because on one level, he's a person, so that when he loses the connection to the malchut, there never was anything in him. It was always the malchut. This is exactly what needs to be brought out to the Nebuchadnezzar. The malchut and the person in whom the malchut is vested are not identical. The great thing is the malchut. If you start playing around with the malchut, then you become a person. And a person ultimately is a wild animal. That's all. All the elements of a human that you take as being so valuable, so great, these are elements that to some extent are vested in the human being. Your biological self can be unbelievably low. It can be exactly the same as any animal. The highest functions of your brain and humanity, in a sense, are vested in you. They don't think they come out in ways that are above our normal experience with the animal self. And that part you're going to lose, because if you want to lose what's vested in you, you will discover that ultimately you're an animal. And that's what's going to happen until you recognize and you're able to distinguish the difference between an aware animal and an intelligent animal that's able to choose what needs to be chosen and to become once again Ro'i l'malchut. And by the way, Chazal identified this man for all his madness and for all the contradictions in him. And we'll see that they're massive contradictions, and we've already seen him acting crazy, even as he was. But Chazal identified in Loshon HaSifri is he was a melech agun for Nisim. He was ro'i for Nisim. The reason that he got malchut in the first place was because when he was the sofer, the Gemara says, of Baladan, who was the king at that time, that was the early stages of Bavel, where the whole miracle had happened to Chizkiyahu, and he sends this message about the unbelievable deliverance, which of course is where this all comes from, the horrors of the Kalim and the Beit HaMikdash being taken out, because Chizkiyahu had done the same thing. In the end, Chizkiyahu had started thinking of himself as me, he big Chizkiyahu, instead of me being Melech Yehuda. And that's the point. There is no me other than that identity of Malchut Yehuda. And it was at that moment that in walks the Navi and said, "So you had a good time with the representatives of Bavel?" "Oh yeah. What'd you show them?" Show them everything. There's nothing I didn't show them. That's good. That's very nice. Because every last thing you showed them, they're going to be taken to Bava, put into Avodah Zarah. How about your kid? Your kids are going to end up being Sari Sim for the king of Bava. That's going to be coming. So hope you enjoyed yourself. And that's it. And that's where the whole story, the middle connected of the story, what's happening to Nebuchadnezzar, is happening because he was the one that wasn't Roy to do the same to Chizkiyo. But how it started was, he was the sofer at the time. He was the secretary of state, Chizkiyo. So Baladani, he was out of the country at the time, the Gemara says. He comes back, and he walks in, and they had just finished sending the message. Chizkiyo, he says, what? You know, who around here knows how to write messages? Well, what'd you write? So they said, well, we wrote, you know, shalom to the Melech Chizkiyo, and shalom to the great Yerushalayim, and shalom to God. He says, what, are you crazy? You write Chizkiyo before God? I mean, if you have to write shalom to Elohar Abba, and then you write, in the end, you get to Chizkiyo. So Baladan says, all right, smart aleck. Karyana di garte elitavan parvanka. You think that's a good idea? You go get the letter back and rewrite it. So he's got to run to catch up with the shliach. And as a matter of fact, there too, Gavriel had to stop him. Because had he continued to, he put in so much into those four steps that he took, that the Gemara says, if he hadn't stopped him, just like he did with his poetry, if he hadn't stopped him, there would have been nothing to stop him at the end when he came to destroy the Beit HaMikdash and so on. So we find many, many elements of his own feelings in which he was pushed into being a rotten guy. Especially that strange turnabout, that 3-month turnabout when he had come originally and he thought Yoyakim was fine, and then he comes back and they say, you know, if you can't trust a bitch, you can't trust a pup. You better go back there and get rid of that kid. So he comes back all the way, gets rid of the king, and now put somebody else in. But there it says again, in the Medrash. But then he saw he was Merachim, and then he said, put somebody else in. I mean, the family of the Malchus. So, see, even then he installs someone that's from the same family. And this is the Yoyakim story and the Tzikiyo story. And he ends up trying to be very friendly with Tzikiyo, which is one of the big problems, as we'll see. And he calls Tzikiyo in and he shares his private life with him. So this is a very unusual man. He has in him ilchot that are passionate, awareness of, as we saw, the way that he bows down to the Neil. He's ready to respond. It's just that he keeps, of course, bending everything to this arrogance that he's unable to get rid of, which apparently is linked in his psychological development to the fact that he was a midget. He was very, very short. And that's exactly the next thing that Daniel is Merames to him. And so he basically tells him that the ideal of a year is that the Amara Lamishpakika Sharashai di Ilana. And now this is the point in. Point is that God wanted this to be left for you because it's gonna happen. And Minditindadi Shalitin Shamaya. Once you know that the Shalit is in the heavens, then you're going to be able to come back. Because this isn't a pagam in the Malchut, and it's not a pagam in you. You've just lost your mind. So you'll lose your mind. Lahin Malka, now here is where Daniel gets in trouble. Lahin Malka, now, therefore, king, Milki Yishparalayah, may my advice, remember, Nimlach in Hebrew means to ask advice. So, may my advice be Yishparalayah. May it find favor in your eye. I suggest, V'chata'ach b'dakafarot, you've been bad. You've been selfish. You've been arrogant. The thing to do is to give charity. And avyatach, your avonot, can be changed bimichan anayim. Not just by giving money, but by caring about the poor. Of course, the Medrash says, why did he do this? Because he saw this as an opportunity. Here we have Yehuda coming, and everybody's been torn from all of their possessions. They come, they had absolutely nothing. So he felt that he would push the king in the direction of opening up the Ozarot. And after all, the king feels that Daniel is the source of all of his possible being as Yeshua, ultimately. And that's exactly what happens. The next 12 months, Nebuchadnezzar opens up the Ozarot, and the Jews are living on the high. He's giving out tons of money to the poor, big welfare programs, opening up yeshivas, all the things that Daniel wanted him to do. And then he says, "Ain't havi archa lishlevatach." Look, you're not going to be able to get away. Because they're saying, we will, there'll be a reprieve, right? Archa. It'll take longer for the things to happen, but since he knew Lamaisa, that in the end, there was no way that this was going to continue, and that ultimately, Nebuchadnezzar would be true to his rotten personality. extension. You'll gain an extension. So, kola mata anavuha netama, and all of these things, though there was an arah, all of these things indeed in heaven to the king Nebuchadnezzar. Now, of course, when it says kola mata anavuha malka, the question is this the end of his letter? And now somebody else is saying that this is indeed what happened, but he didn't want to write it. What's interesting is, I think the true Pirush, the beautiful Pirush, is the Ruksad Yagun. Since what happened was the loss of his mind, he has to write it in third person, because he's writing about someone else. And that is such a beautiful, just in terms of the literary power of it. Looking at now the restored to his grandeur, Nebuchadnezzar, I can only say that that happened in Nebuchadnezzar. It had nothing to do with me, because I was completely mad. And you do find very often people will talk like this about a self that they don't longer recognize, or a period in which they find didn't really relate to themselves. It's about him. And now he talks about him. Only at the end, where he now gets better and recovers his mind, does he start talking again in first person. So therefore, it's clear that this is all of his letter. It's all his letter, but it's different stages in the events that he's talking about. So now, this is what Daniel said to me. This is what I did, but in the end, poor Nebuchadnezzar. This is what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. And here's how it happened. So, L'Kitzati Archim Treyasa. I was still sane, you know, and I was walking at the end of 12 months later. And there I was up on the top of my palace. And there I was, the Hecham Achot, the Bavam, Alech Havah. Walking was I, and Ani Malka the Amar, and the king said then, Hello, Dahi Bavel Rabita. Is this not the great and glorious Bavel? The Anavin Yata, I built it. Levet Malchu to be a house of empire. Bitkaf Chisni, with the immense power of my destiny. The Liakar Hadri was all built for the glory of my grandeur. Now, this was a response, says the Medrash, to what had happened with the Aniyim. He's walking on top, and there's a tremendous tumult downstairs at the door of the Otsar. And this is the first time he'd been up on top at the time that the Aniyim would come, that he had established it. So he asks his people, what's all that? Well, King, you know, you said that there's supposed to be this welfare program, and it's like, the poor are banging on the door. Poor banging on the door. Start making judgment. How much is costing me? You know, then he looks out and says, you know, how much is this going to cost to keep up the city? We got work. We've got to do road work. So, I mean, I can't keep this up. I'm going to be mevazvez, kol dechasai, wasting all of my money. So, ain zeh kvodi. That's not very much of my honor. This is all about my honor. And he immediately gives out a tzivoy, shut down the otzar, close the programs. At that moment, od milta b'fum malka, while he's still talking, kol min shemaya nafal, a voice falls from the sky, so that he should have advance notice. And the voice says, Lach Amarin Nebuchadnezzar Malka. To you, we have to say, oh, Nebuchadnezzar the king, Malchuta Adat Mina. Malchut has just been removed from you. Beep, thank you. Of course, that's the whole idea, is to be able to separate the Malchut from the Nebuchadnezzar. It's two different things. Umin Anashalach Tardin. Now you have also been separated from your birthright as a human. Vim chevat baram medorach, and from this point on you will be living with the wild animals. Ispa kitorin lachitam, and they'll be feeding you, maybe animal feed, like oxen. Vishiva danim yachafun alach, and there'll be seven separate times that are going to pass over you. Adi tindadi shaliti la'aba machut anasha, oloman di yetzbe yidnina, you will give it to anybody, even to the lowest of the low, is a remnant of him. Ba sha'ata milta safat on Nebuchadnezzar, at that very moment, this exactly took place. It fell on Nebuchadnezzar, min anashat reed, and there he was, thrown away from humans. Viz paketor niyuhum, umital shamaya gishmeit taba, his body was washed in the dew of the heavens. Adisarek nishnin radva, until his hair grew, that he looked like a wild eagle. It's not that he was human, but I mean, he looked mad. Vetifrui kitziporin, and his nails grew the way a bird's talons would grow. Wow. Vilikzat yumaya anadavanetara einailish maya nitlate. And now he's talking about himself again. And it was at the end of the time that was appointed. I, Nebuchadnezzar, no longer king Nebuchadnezzar. I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes up into the heaven. And at that moment, mandaya layetuv, my intelligence was returned to me. Uliyela barachet, and I blessed God above. Ulachai alma to the eternal. Shabachet v'adaret, I gave my shevach hodah. Di shaltane shaltana alam, whose malchut is forever now, his power is forever, malchutayim dor v'dor, and who is the true malchut for all generation. V'chol dairei ara kelach hashivin. And all those who live on this earth are basically meaningless. They're like nothing. U'chemitzbiyei aved. He does as he wishes, b'chel shamayah, and the powers above in the sky. V'dairei ara, and those who live on earth. V'loitai diyamchevi yedei. There does not exist anyone who could protest anything that he does. V'yemar le'ma'avadet, and say to him, what are you doing? Be'zim not at that moment. Indeed, his full awareness was returned to him. Manda'i yetuvalai. My awareness sat on me, v'likor ma'chuti hadari, and I was brought back to the glory of my kingdom. V'zivi yetuvalai. The glory and the shine that was on me came back. And not only that, hadavrai, v'ravravanai, yavaun, all of my advisors and all of my noblemen, they all came back to me. V'al ma'chuti atkanat, and I was put back in the ma'chut, revui atiro savatli. Not only that, but even greater, gedula than I had before. It was added to me. Ki'an, and now at this point, Ana Nebuchadnezzar, doesn't even call himself a melech anymore. And so he's been humbled. I, Nebuchadnezzar, mishabach umiromeim umahadar lemelech shemaya. I wish to give now my praise to glory and to beautify the king of the heavens. Dichoma avadoi kishot. This is tzidok hadin. Everything that he does is truth. V'archatei din. So that he's mamish aimed on the inyan of giving tzidok hadin and being made that everything din was correct. V'dima halchin begeva. Those who walk arrogantly. Yachila ashpala. He can indeed bring down the side. Now there's a lot of elements that are Marumas over here that happened to him. But this is sort of a crazy story. We go all the way back to the Mice of Tzidkiyo. So what happened over there, as I mentioned, he was trying to become friends, to befriend Tzidkiyo. He brings Tzidkiyo to his own Su'udah, shares the Su'udah with him, and Tzidkiyo sees that they bring in meat that's basically raw and still twitching. So he says, this guy's eating the Eman Chai, it's so rapid, according to the Gemara. And then what the Medrash describes, this part of the description isn't in the Gemara, but what the Medrash describes is a real illness of bulimia. It says he starts shaking and his spit starts coming out of his mouth and he loses complete control and he's jamming this stuff into his mouth and he goes looking at him like, oh my God, like this is the guy that's taking over the whole world. The man is absolutely crazy. And then he goes through this whole thing and then he's very embarrassed because again, people are embarrassed after this. Tzidkiyo saw that. So he makes Tzidkiyo swear that he's never going to tell anybody what he saw. This is the famous story where that everybody knows the story. We spoke back in Malachim, without giving this detail, that Tzidkiyo, in the end, went back and he bavazed him, he got to Nedrin, he marched to the Shvua, and Nebuchadnezzar found out. And it was because of that, in the end, that all these horrible things happened to Tzidkiyo, and Nebuchadnezzar takes it out on him and does horrible things to him. So when he tells Sanhedrin that even if it's mutter, you can be mat or shua, you've got to tell the person that the shua was made to, that you could be mat or the shua. And it was at that moment that all of a sudden Sanhedrin sat down on the ground and realized they had made this horrible mistake and so on. So what the Gemara's medayik over here is like really crazy. It's medayik the parasha of Eich Lefalta Mishamayim Halel Ben Shachar. Halel Ben Shachar is when it was shining, was the glory of the morning. And how did you fall from the heavens to the earth? Cholesh al goyim. Now the Gemara brings a raya from there that cholesh is a lashon of hur. So that and we see that much before. It describes the guy first of all. Now whether he was homosexual or whether he would rape in order to establish his power over it, that's not clear. But the point is that he would be cholesh, and all of the kings that he ruled over, he would basically rape, and they would take a tour. You know, like this is the date to rape this guy. This is the date to rape this guy. The Gemara has this crazy diak of the pasuk. Of the Malaim b'chayim matil pura gedolei malchut leida eze ben yomoshe b'shkav zahur. Fine, that's cholesh aguyim. It's related to everybody. One of the onashim for him over here is that he's called shod b'mot yechitun. Yechitun is a lashon of chatunah. So what the Gemara says is, what the Medrash says is that all of the chayot saw him as a female. They would all mate with him. So in the end, this guy who was trying to establish his sexual ascendancy over humans ends up becoming now the mate of all of these animals. So that he was nivala as the nekeva of whatever animal saw him. The one also has this wild story in which we're trying specifically to be mevaza him in terms of, we do the same thing with Paro, because it's strange, Paro being only one amma high, but unfortunately his palace was an amma plus, you know. So basically Paro was a, we understand what it's saying. You know? So this is the story of Paro. But the story of Nebuchadnezzar is even crazier, because it says that he wanted to rape Tzidkiyo. So there is in this great party, and he gets this insane erection that is 300 feet long, knocks over all of the dishes and everything, and all. It's a crazy Gemara, right? So that's, and we're medayik for the lashon of Arel. Arel de Gematria is 300. The Gemara says anyway, 300 is always the lashon of Guzma. Well, the point is that he was made a total and absolute fool of for his mad appetite. So that then, when he's reduced over here to the level of the animal, it really is bringing out all of these crazy appetites, all the things that he himself is an animal, and he came indeed to recognize that. Now, what happens at the end? This is the end of the Muhammad. The next Eric already opens up with Belshazzar. And it, indeed, it's out of order. The next piece is out of order. Now, what happens, says the Medrash, is that Belshazzar, the day that Nebuchadnezzar dies, this is 45 years, he's Sholeit, which is what leads to the mistake that Belshazzar makes to the next Eric, because he measures the time from Bavel from 45 years and thinks that the 70 years are up that we're supposed to have, but they weren't up. So this becomes the problem in the next Eric. But Evel Merodach is told that Nebuchadnezzar has died, and he should now, you know, see, what are you crazy? The last time they told me he's out of action, I ended up being thrown into a dungeon, and I spent like all the past years in the dungeon. I ain't going out there. No, he's really dead. He's never dead. He'll never die. No way he'll die. So what happens? They say, but we just had a state funeral. I'm telling you, he's not dead. So they open up his coffin and drags him across the ground just to make sure that he's totally dead. Which, of course, has the other remes with Yo, does the same thing. But over there, it was approved by the Chachamim in order to be mezalzel in the Avodah Zarah elements of his forefather. So he does that to his father, too. But it's amazing how interrelated the stories of Yo and Nebuchadnezzar become. So it's only then, so the Medrash says, yeah, he was buried, but on the same day they exhumed him because Evel Merodach refused to deal with the throne. And so that parasha skipped over. We go straight to Belshazzar. And there's a man who says, look, it's not meant to be history book. We want to stress the fact that it's written al pi ruach hakodesh for what we need to know, and not as just a story of the events that took place. And because of that, we skipped 23 years, essentially, of Evel Merodach in order to get into the next parak, which we'll do tomorrow. Fascinating similarities to Nimrod, who, of course, was the one who built the city to go up into the clouds and so on. You'll notice that in his dreams, he's always talking about skyscrapers and going up to the Shamayim and how everything. He actually says this in the Pasuk Ealeh Abomoteav Adamele Elyon. I'm going to be similar to God. Nothing on earth is good enough. The earth is too small for me. Can't hold me. Yatzta Batko Va'amralos. This is Lashon Gemara. Batko comes out from the heaven. He says, Rasha ben Rasha, ben beno shel Nimrod HaRasha, Shimrit kol olam kulo alav b'malchuto. I love this. I mean, it's just hilarious. Kamishnotav shel adam. How long do you intend to live? Let's give it 70 years, okay? Fine. Now look, talking about getting up Adam El Elyon, you know, just till the Rekia, you know, in order to get to what we call the Rekia, that's 500 light years, okay? Then it's another 500 light years to get through the Ovio Sharekia. And then between each one of the Shiva Rekiam, it's another 500 light years, plus the distance between each Rekia separate. Then you get up to the Chayot HaKodesh. All right, now the Chayot HaKodesh. Let's start with the toes. So the toes are equal to the number of light years that you've traveled so far in order to get up to this point. Okay, then you get up now to the ankle. That includes all of that plus. So you're constantly going up. And then you've got the legs, and then you've got, and each one adds the entirety of what you had up until now. Doubles it from this point on. And this keeps on going. The Guf HaChayot, the Tzavarei HaChayot, the Rosh HaChayot, the Karnei HaChayot, and then you get to the Kisei HaKovod, then you get up to the Raglayim of the Kisei HaKovod, and then you have the Kisei HaKovod itself. And now, so we're talking about over here, you know, a few million light years. Now, let's assume for a moment that you'd be able to get close to the speed of light. How long did you intend to live with this Adamello? You know what I mean? This is really rich. It's just rich. As a matter of fact, why don't we try something else? I say, and this is the continuation of the pasuk, El Sheol Turad. How about going straight to hell? El Yarkate Bor. And then the Gemara says, that continues that Gemara, but that story of the party, the Gemara says that when he was sent to hell, so everybody in hell says, oh no, don't tell me. This is the worst yet. So they say, is this guy now coming down to do his shtick year two, or is he basically the same as anybody else around here? So a Basco comes out, the Lashon of a Basco, yeah, the final crush is. The Basco tells him, you know, you think you're prettier than anybody else around here. You're going to be just as sick as anybody else here. He gets a boot in the pants. And that's the end of the Nebuchadnezzar as he throws down into the bor, which was the ultimate bor that he's been so used to throwing everybody else into. So this idea of the shlita, of the tiny, silly beliefs of human beings about what they're capable of, what they can do, is really part of getting back to Nimrod and the whole silliness of an immature humanity and building up big cities. I mean, this is going to be the solution and supports for the sky and so on. I mean, it's hilarious, but it's all things that you do to your own little selves. And this was the first stage of maturity, really, in Bavel, in which it's possible to really talk about a developing political system that's going to achieve things and do things. And we do find that they become, after this story, far more sophisticated. This is, we talked before, it goes directly into the idea of politics, populism, parties, then republics, and in the very next generation, then the Greeks and their democracies and the grandeur of men and their philosophies. Things start flying from this point, really. So that this is a turning point. Bavel is really a turning point, is where Nimrod has to be switched into understanding that essentially the development of the world, which was the Abrahamic vision back in the beginning, this breakdown of centralized control, which was the image of the Malchut, the centralized control of Bavel, that was the golden head, is going to be reduced to down and dirty, self-organizing ideas that will result in the end in the growing of Mashiach. And that is a real victory over Nimrod HaRasha, an intellectual victory. And that's why this was so important. The transition was a very painful transition for the Goyim as well as it was for the Jews. I mean, they also were very oriented to having things come down from above, and the Beis HaMikdash is the center, and all of the gold that's in the Beis HaMikdash that was brought over here to Bavel. All of that relates, obviously, to the same gold. If that statue was built out of that gold, really, all of the base of the statue, as the Medrash says, needed to be brought out in order to allow it to be supported in Bichlal. So yes, on a simple level, that's saying that in the end it's only a support of the visions of Malchus Mashiach. But there's deeper elements in it, because it really reflects the way the Jews were relating to these things. And what they went through in Bavel was Zelu Umadzeh, exactly as in Mitzrayim. You have to learn the same way Paro had to learn in the year two. Jews have to learn the same way that the Nebuchadnezzar had to learn. Through Daniel, through Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, but through the events of a developing world, that things were not the way they thought they were, in the sense that, of course, in Megillat Esther, which is the very end of the story, where it was vastly more sophisticated. The nature of politics, and the nature of leadership, and the nature of Malchus, the nature of self-organization, and the nature of randomness itself, which is so linked to the idea of poor, which begins here with Cholesh Aguim. Minayin Shelashon Chalash is Lashon Puria. That's exactly here. So from Nebuchadnezzar to the end of the story is really linked to the development of Lots.
My question... Yeah. All right. My question was, does the cutting off of the roots of the tree and separating the leaving the Malchus, the roots in, and separating the man off and turning him to whatever it is, does that have anything to do with the Kabbalistic concept of Kotzeis Benetios?
Right, that's a wonderful, wonderful point. We're so happy to have Rabitzak, Dr. Feinstein, with us again. And, 100% it does, because the idea of Kodesh Vinatiyos is really the separation of the inyanim of the malchut, of the self-organized malchut, from its roots in the achdus of what Bria is and how it connects to the original act of creation. So the moment that breaks down, that's what we call minus. And in minus, that's why it's called Migdal Porer Ba'avir. Migdal Porer Ba'avir is you've got a rocket ship that's flying, but it's not connected to anything. And that's the exactly what happens with the problem of Acher and with all of those who gave the wrong etzes to Malchus. That's the story of Achitofel and Yeravam was all about Migdal Porer Ba'avir, which is a strange kind of vision, just a rocket ship hovering and not really having anything to stand on, which is the very much this idea of the Kodesh Vinatiyos.